No, we're not moving backwards. Just want to catch the context. Matthew 27. Verse 63, the chief priests and Pharisees are speaking to Pilate, the governor. Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. In chapter 28, remember an angel of the Lord came accompanied by an earthquake and descended from heaven and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And verse 3 of chapter 28 says, his countenance, his look, the word is idea, was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Verse 11, now when they were going, that is the women, having met Jesus, now they're going to tell the disciples the news. Meanwhile, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave a significant amount of money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. It just so happens that the message falls upon the subject of the military on this Memorial Day weekend. We should appreciate the military and those that have given their lives and those that are in harm's way to protect our land, to protect our resources, to protect our homes. And military are going to be honored with parades and services and speeches. But if I think of this Memorial Day, I think of the fact that it was a Memorial Day or a day to remember for these soldiers that were guarding the tomb of Jesus. We all have days or things that we remember that were significant in our lives and something we can't forget. The salvation of a soul, meeting a dignitary or a spiritual giant, just some providence. I just happened to look up this week and last week and realized that the previous owner of this building that held the mortgage passed away recently, and his wife just before he did, Warren and Mary Jo Moffitt. The Lord turned their hearts to hold the mortgage for us in 1988 or so for 15 years. And I met with them at a Starbucks in North Buffalo. It was more toward the city, near, if any of you remember, a hospital close to the city, not St. Joseph's, but what was that called? I used to actually drop people off in the 90s. Close to Lower Niagara, near the city. But we met somewhere around there. Yes, Columbus Hospital. I used to drive people there back in the 90s. The Lord turned their hearts to hold the mortgage for a very small group of people. And we are so grateful. Lord, without a doubt, it was a memory that we have kept for a long, long time. The Bible is full of the inclusion of military personnel. We have kings and queens in the Bible. We have captains of armies. We have soldiers throughout, like Uriah and even David. We have prison guards. We have governors, centurions, and we have angels. They're called the host of the Lord, the Lord's host, the Lord's army. Soldiers who never forgot certain things. Salvation, like Naaman the Syrian and Cornelius the Roman. A signal victory like David over Goliath. The centurion and some of his soldiers at Calvary. They had the memory of one who never died like Jesus died. There's a centurion that had a servant healed and believed on the Lord. And there are soldiers that are part of the reading today that guarded the tomb of Jesus. They're called actually custodians in the Greek, or the group of them is called custodian. We know that word, those who take care of a building. And these are particularly are watching over the tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're guarding the tomb. It does not say how many there were. There were probably shifts involved, 4-hour, 6-hour shifts. Our assumption is there were at least 4 from a couple statements in the passage. It does not say that any of them saw the resurrected Christ, but they did see something they would never forget. Namely, they saw an angel whose face was as bright as lightning and whose garment was as bright as snow, and they saw an empty tomb. Our assumption is that the angel left and that they observed that their quarry was gone and that they had failed in their attempt to guard the tomb. I would just like us to consider a few thoughts about these guards and the gospel that is very importantly very importantly guarded, if you will, by some of the statements and some of the actions revolving around the lives of these soldiers. May I say, first of all, they were witnesses. The Bible says, from fear of the angel, those guarding the tomb even became as dead men. They were terrified by the sight of the angel and by the event of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if these were soldiers that were working overtime, that were part of the gauntlet that tortured Jesus, or if these soldiers among them were those that were guarding the cross. But just like you have police today that work at banks and events beyond their own duties as policemen in certain precincts. But again, they're called custodial in chapter 27, verses 65 and 66. So we're assuming 4. There may have been 6, 8, or 10, because you remember that the chief priests and the elders were very concerned about 10, 11 disciples or more stealing the body of Jesus. Would they have thought that 4 soldiers or temple police were enough? Now let me just say that there is an argument that if you read commentators, there's an argument whether these were Roman soldiers or whether they were Jewish police who guarded and who were involved in being occupied at the temple. You can argue from both places. You say, well, they have to be Roman guards because they were concerned about the wrath of the Roman governor. But then you have the Roman governor saying, you have a guard. You have your own police. You take care of it. It's your responsibility. And there are other items involved in arguing from both standpoints. So I have an opinion. I think that the ones involved were the temple police, but again, I can't be dogmatic about it. But nonetheless, even if they were temple police, they were still probably very experienced and rugged and capable men who could fend off weak and doubting disciples. And the fact that they were so doubtful and so fearful, we would doubt very highly that they would have attempted to steal the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that there were police guarding the tomb and knowing that a huge stone had covered the hole going into the tunnel, into the cave. Interestingly, Matthew is the only one that records this story of the police or the soldiers guarding the tomb. But they saw someone that looked like lightning and as bright white in their clothing as sun reflecting the noon, snow reflecting the noonday sun. So they were probably seasoned strong men, but they were reduced to weaklings. And again, it takes a lot to scare off these police, these soldiers. They were witnesses. The Lord, in His wisdom, made sure that He had many different types of witnesses regarding the miraculous events that surrounded the resurrection. I doubt that Jesus appeared to them, because it seems to be that the only post-resurrection appearances were to those who knew the Lord, not to any that did not know the Lord. The Lord would only privilege, apparently, believers with seeing Him having risen from the dead. They were not only witnesses, they were heralds. Notice the juxtaposition. You have two types of heralds. You have the women heralds who were told to go and tell the disciples that Jesus was risen from the dead, and with fear and great joy they leave the scene, and Jesus meets them on the way with the privilege of seeing the resurrected Christ, and they continue on and announce that Jesus indeed is risen from the dead, not just simply by the empty tomb or the presence of the angel, but that they saw Jesus Himself. Then you have the parallel of some of the custodians coming into the city, verse 11, and announcing to the chief priests all things that occurred. Now, that might be one reason, again, why we believe it's the temple police. They didn't report directly to the centurion or to Pilate. But again, you have an answer that they didn't want to lose their life if they appeared before the centurion and Pilate, because sleeping on duty or losing your prisoner, if especially a dead prisoner, is going to be not good news or not going to be a good result. But then again, you have those that say the reason why they appeared to the chief priests was because they were temple police. But they went to declare, the word is the same used of the women, to report, to announce something very significant. They were alarmed. They were in one sense, excited. But in their case, they were announcing something in a tone of scandal, or a tone of someone being slandered. That's the sad part. They were basically, remember the difference between the lame man that was healed by Jesus and the blind man that was healed by Jesus? When the lame man realized who it was, he went to tell on Jesus to the authorities. When the blind man realized who Jesus was, he defended Jesus. He preached Jesus. That's one of the most thrilling conversions and immediate defenses of Christ and the gospel that you'll ever find in the Bible. John chapter 9. A wonderful story about how the Lord can change your life so quickly and cause you to be a bold witness so soon after you're converted. But these men went, it's like telling on people. You know, they went to tell the chief priests and the elders what had happened. Can you imagine only having that concern on your mind, that the thing that they feared the most, the loss of the body of Jesus Christ, was most utmost on their minds, rather than where is he, who is he, and that we've just seen a powerful being in our midst that caused us to lose all strength and all courage. And again, it's not the miracle, it's not being touched by an angel that is going to change us. It's the sovereign act of God to save a sinner. You don't need anything spectacular to see to be converted. It's the spectacular gospel of Christ. And I have to say, thirdly, that there were guards, put it that way, whether they were police or soldiers, they were guards, custodians, that were witnesses, that were heralds, but I can't help but suggesting that there were some that became believers. Do you notice that it says some of the guards, some of the watch went into the city? Have you ever wondered, what about the rest of them? Now, again, we're wondering out loud, were they just continuing to be stunned a little longer, or were they concerned to make sure that they waited enough time to report? You can imagine, but my imagination takes me to the fact that it says not all of them went to report it. That means at least two of them were left behind, and the others may have been influenced originally, especially if they were Roman soldiers, by the reaction of the centurion and some of the soldiers at the crucifixion that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And even if they were temple police, some of them, remember, returned to the Sanhedrin and said, "Never a man spake like this man." And so this was the exclamation point in their hearts and their lives, that something spectacular is taking place. That is, that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He has not been stolen by weak and fearful and sinful disciples. The centurion and some of the soldiers had already believed on Christ. So I know it's the history of silence here, but I will not be surprised if I meet some of the watch in heaven who are convinced by the presence of the angel and the empty tomb, though they didn't see the body, the resurrected Christ, that the Lord indeed was alive from the dead, just as He had promised. But the sum that left became bribed liars. Well, let me just say that the chief priests and elders were the bribing liars. They assembled for counsel, we're told. What should they have concluded? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to repent of our sins. But no, they concluded that they needed to bait these guards, to bribe them, to lie. And there were at least three lies. The first lie, say his disciples coming stole him while we were asleep, that they were kleptomaniacs. Two, we will persuade Pilate, probably with more money, if he becomes concerned. And again, here's perhaps another indication that perhaps that they were temple police, because Pilate most certainly would have known if they were soldiers if that this happened. But he was in Caesarea, that was his main palace, and why would he need to know whether the temple police had erred on their job? But the third is the most wicked lie of all, wouldn't you agree? You will be free from anxiety. Can you imagine? You won't be anxious. We'll make sure your conscience is clear. We'll make sure that you live happily ever after. And this is often the case in reprobate clergy from pulpits. Everything's fine. Just do good. Go about doing good. Give to the poor. Make sure you give to the offering baskets. Make sure that you go to church. Make sure you're a good neighbor and you'll get to heaven. What a lie from the pit of hell. You have nothing to worry about. Versus the gospel, where we can sing free from guilt and free from sin. Remember me, O Lord, when you come into your kingdom. And so we find the soldiers or the guards at the tomb either ended up as believers or those who took a bribe. Can you imagine meeting the Lord at Judgment Day? And Judas was content with a small amount. The Bible tells us that these men had to be bribed with a large amount. What does that possibly tell you? That at first they were a little bit hesitant, but as they began to up the ante, that money talks. The love of money is the root of all evil. It says a significant amount was needed to bribe these guards. How we have trembled with guilt when we thought about the crucifixion of the Lord, that it was for us, that we were doomed without Him. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, how sometimes my heart within me trembles. Were you there when He rose up from the grave? Were you there when He rose up from the grave? Sometimes makes my heart tremble. Were you there when He rose up from the grave? Are you and I witnesses? We tremble at God's grace. Are we witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus? Are we believers in His resurrection? Are we heralds of His resurrection? Or are we covetous or liars and we fail to spread the news, only that religion consists of good works and wishful deeds? This is Memorial Day for the guards. And what a day it will be If they die without Christ, they're going to meet their Maker. They didn't take their money with them. But those who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ were enriched, and they saw the risen and exalted, ascended Savior, and are with Him forever and ever and ever. What is it with you and me? Are we true believers? Are we telling a story that has saved us? Or are we telling a story that we have never believed, that we refuse to believe, that we are afraid to believe? Let's pray.